My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Everybody around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Saw this tweet again. Like, we live in a world where it's impossible to know what is true and what is not, and we'll just sort of, we shoot first and ask questions later. But a person on Twitter, Henry McNamara, who's got 7,000 followers, whatever that means, says he was sitting next to an NBC executive at dinner, and that the NBC executive said Snoop gets paid $500,000 a day plus expenses to be in Paris promoting the Olympics. So
this is something I think many of us have been wondering as we've watched him show up on our screens at literally every, it feels like every event of the Olympics at some point.
So do you believe that? When you hear that, do you
watch? Well, I literally said to my dad, had a conversation about Snoop, how they are getting their money's worth. Like, they, but between what they do with him at live events, which he is at, and you can see him, he's been at skateboarding, he's been swimming, everything else, and then what they do with him in the primetime package, where last night they got him on in the studio with Martha Stewart, because they want to get more pop. They're trying to get more eyes, and they literally reunite him and Martha with Tirico. They are getting their money's worth out of him. And so my dad and I have kind of wondered what the price was, and so I found this fascinating. I'm wondering if it's, you know, if it's real or not. Who this is that's saying it? If it's true, because I would suspect that I said he must be getting millions for how much they are using him to spike ratings, and the ratings are up.
Yeah.
The ratings for NBC from all reports are up on these Olympics. It's not just because of Snoop, but he has been a part, and we talked about them making him a part of this. And it's not just this; he's going to be on The Voice. And so they've combined the two in terms of promoting the new Voice. He's on there with Reba and them. They've changed Buble.
Right.
Now, who was the country guy that he replaced? Because Gwen's still on.
It was
but the country guy, Blake had been there forever.
Yeah.
So this thing ain't for long, let me tell you that right now. But my point is, they're combining the two. They're promoting that while having Snoop on as the ratings booster he is. He's absolutely been part of the ratings going up.
Yeah. I think that's, again, I haven't seen anything that he's done.
Basically, first week was up 79% from 2021, the Tokyo Olympics.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it is. Now, again, it's a different Olympics. It's a different time. We were coming, COVID, no fans in stands. Not that mattered to ratings, but 79% is night and day difference.
Mm.
So we're tuned in. We said NBC was going to make this a show, kind of going off the theme of Spielberg. We're going to tell you. And the time difference gives them a chance to reset, take the best out of the day, make a show of it that Brad's been watching and enjoying. And I have, too. I mean, Brad ain't the only one. The package has been great because, like we talked about last week, it gets you right to the goods. You can skip a lot of the waiting. And they've done a fantastic job, NBC has, capitalizing at a time where there's not really anywhere else for us to go other than to Netflix to watch a show. But sports-wise, this is what we got. You know, and so they're doing a good job, and Snoop's been a big part of it.
Yeah, he said, you know, this ain't the town to sleep in. This ain't the time to sleep. It's the time to be on it like you want it.
Man, I think he told his wife, like, here's what we got to hit. Here's what NBC's asking for, and here's how much we expect to make. I bet you he's making a fortune. You add that to whatever they're paying him to be on The Voice now. He's making a fortune off of NBC. A fortune. This is now his NBC is his employer. Mm-hmm. They are his livelihood now. And I bet you it's a million-dollar one. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be.
Mike Tirico said it's real. It's authentic. It jumps through the screen. He loves the Olympics. He loves America, and he loves these athletes. I think we're living that every time he goes out and does a piece. But, again, I don't watch the dressage. I don't watch the, you know what I'm saying? So I have not seen any Snoop stuff yet.
What I'm tripping off of has looked like Flavor Flav finessed his way over there. Look like, I'm just outside looking in, it looked like Flav was, at first it was social media, him tweeting and talking about Snoop being over there, and then now you look up and Flav's at the events now. So when they don't have Snoop, when they let him go take a little break, you know, to do his thing, they bring Flav in, and he's kind of a Snoop light. Oh, we can get him with, we'll get him with Flav. Not same thing. And he was out there doing his Yeah Boys, trying to go viral and everything else. I think it was at gymnastics that I saw Flavor Flav. But they've covered themselves even when they need a Snoop backup. Got Flav on the scene. These old school rappers, you know, that have become Olympic celebrities.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I think Flav was talking about Snoop carrying the torch. He was doing that on social media, and I bet you somebody said, "You know what? Why don't you come on over here? We'll pay your way." And that's the way to do it, and that's the good, I suppose, that social media can do, at least for some of these celebrities.
Yeah, and Tirico's
get them a free ride.
Says he's easy to work with as well. Says he's a star who's willing to be part of the team, and he fits right in.
Well, if he wasn't, Martha would have told you that a long time ago,
right.
Bro. Once that was a hit, bro, he went mainstream. And like that, he had the ability to really take this and make a business out of being Snoop.
Yeah. So, look, Snoop's a...
not that he wasn't already a business, but it was a whole other avenue, let's be real.
Exactly.
To the mainstream.
And what I appreciate is, like, he's not just taking a check. He's there working.
Bro, they are working the dog out of that man, literally.
Yeah. And he's making it his life, you know, and
he keeps lifting up his glasses. I swear it's to show us he ain't red-eyed. Like, I swear they're keeping him sober over there, too, because they got him working so damn much. I know he's barely got any time. And then when he gets that 5 minutes where he's got to go puff, and we know he's proud of it. He'll do his thing. They're selling pins, Snoop, you know, smoking pins. That's when the NBC can slide old Flav in there, and many of y'all won't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you all won't know the difference.
Yeah.
Got a man coming off the bench like Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah.
On a two-way.
Because
that's what Flav is on,
so
the two-way.
In 2028, it's probably going to be Snoop again, especially in L.A., right?
I almost thought at the beginning of the Olympics maybe they were wasting it. Dude, we will double down on Snoop.
Oh, yeah, they're
going to try to get Dre on out in L.A.
Yeah.
With him.
Yes, 100%. It's going to be...
They would be fools, with the viewership up the way it is, they would be fools not to bring Snoop back in his, you know, in his stomping grounds. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about here? They're going to come on with West Coast Music, NBC. It's going to be the Snoop Show.
Yeah. You're exactly.
And the wardrobe they've given this man, it's not just, I'm sure they're getting per diem, food, free, all everything. The wardrobe, have you seen? He's got like a new T-shirt, a new jacket, Snoop this, Snoop that. Dude has just, it's a whole nother career avenue, a whole nother revenue stream. NBC paying the mess out of it, man. I can't do anything but respect it.
Yeah, L.A. is going to be, you know, doggy style. That's what it's going to be in 2028. That's what it's going to be, bro. I'm telling you, that's what it's going to be. Four-time platinum. Death Row Records in 2028. I was trying to think, like, maybe they can involve Kendrick. You think Kendrick wants to get involved in the coverage?
It probably will be, but I don't think they're going to take Kendrick.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Him and Drake, are they family-friendly anymore after all them shots that were fired?
This would have been the year to do it, right?
Snoop is now family-friendly. Key to this.
That's correct. What was your favorite Snoop album?
That one, the first one.
Doggy Style?
Yeah, Gin and Juice, Doggy Style.
Yep.
All that. I mean, all of them were hits. And you got to think of what time in my life I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was on out.
Yeah.
Glorifying
you
that.
You thought you was on
that whiskey,
records.
You know.
Yeah. You had Doggy
Style. Tanqueray, drinking that Tanqueray. Could barely sip. Have you ever had Tanqueray?
I don't think so.
I don't. People that act like they enjoy it.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know. I've had some Grand Marnier.
That's how silly we were as kids.
I'm on that Grand Marnier.
Drink the Tanqueray. It tastes
that
nasty.
De Marnier Cunningham.
I remember that De Marnier. Now, if I remember, that had a sweeter taste to it. Wasn't
it
as bad
yeah.
going down, right?
Yeah.
Tanqueray, nasty.
Yeah.
But we still tried to drink it. And the orange juice.
That was what you were on?
Yeah, Tanqueray orange juice. Little, put that Seagram's in there. You know?
The first time I ever drank.
Just flat out throwing up. Stupid.
It was Boone's Farm?
Yeah.
I'm talking about that.
That's that Mad Dog 2020
I'm 13
for us.
Years old, okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah. 13?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boone's Farm.
Now, I wasn't that young.
And then guess what we went to? I'm not even making this up, bro. Everclear.
Should have.
Everclear. Man. Now, you learned.
What I was drinking. Was you in Tall Trees?
What you mean?
It was a program for kid drinkers
No.
It wasn't their fault.
I'm thankful for the Everclear because
it scared you away.
I quickly realized I don't want to. This is disgusting. I mean, that's like straight. What's that like? 99 proof or something like that. I mean, it's straight alcohol, bro. Mm-hmm. It's like you're drinking the
Bushwick Bill used to talk about that Everclear. I never did.
How do they sell that?
I don't know. It's like gasoline.
Yeah, I mean, like, and who drinks it? And for what purpose? I mean, I guess I know the purpose. But
to
like,
forget.
Man, forget and cease to exist, basically, bro. You travel to another dimension. But I just remember being, I was like we passed a bottle around, right? And I would fake that I was drinking it because it was that. I mean, you just smelled it, you know, like you're your soft, nose
yeah.
hairs.
Yeah, them folks were calling you soft.
Well, they can call me whatever they want.
It was peer pressure. That's what we did to you. It was silliness.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you did. You were listening to Doggy Style in 93.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, who knows what you were doing.
About to graduate a year later.
Now, in 98, when the game is to be sold, not to be told, you were at Memphis. Well, you were 30 at Memphis, and so you had matured since
not
then.
Not 30, fool, and I didn't get back in until 99.
Okay, so this would have been No Limit Top Dog
mm-hmm.
when you got back in. Then you had the last meal. Then you had, I mean, Snoop was working, bro. He was putting out albums every year or two. Paid the cost to be the boss.
What was Murder Was the Case on? Murder Was the Case that they gave me.
Well, give me like a year.
That was after the Chronic. It was later on. He had gotten in trouble.
Was that a Snoop song?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It might have him and somebody else, maybe. I'm pretty sure it was the. You don't have the clean. Wait, there, I don't know that there
that
is was a clean
that
version.
Was Doggy Style.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Death After Visualizing Eternity. That was the parenthesis of it. It was Murder Was the Case. Princess Death After Visualizing okay. Eternity.
Now he's like NBC Mainstream America. We love him.
That only in America is that kind of transformation possible.
It's just amazing, the transformation.
You know, Ray Lewis killed somebody. He was on. He was an NFL analyst.
It's just
didn't he? I mean, he was acquitted or whatever, but he did do it. And then you know, OJ became a like media sensation, and Snoop, you know, had the albums and the music that he had, and now he's like with Martha Stewart with Your Interior Decorating, and he's a. It's just amazing. It's just amazing what is possible, you know. I can't explain it. I can't quite explain how that mm, happens.
How that works.
But it does. It seems to work. Anyway, shout out to the dog father. He's killing it in the Olympics.
Next story.
And viewership is up. NBC says Lee Defy. Is that the way we say it? I think that's the way you pronounce it. He was the NBC play-by-play man on the 100-meter run that we saw that, got it wrong, but they've gone to him now and, you know, asked him about it. And I worried about this. I was, you know, I don't think he should take much blame for in the moment. And remember, it's 5/1000ths of a second that separated Kashawn Thompson of Jamaica from Noah in this race. You know, he said that that Thompson won. And then here he, you know, they went to him afterwards after he called it wrong. And in the moment, you don't hear a lot of him trying to clear it up. He actually lets the scene, kind of like Joe Buck does, lets the right. scene sort of do the talking for him. And again, I would point out, Noah Lyles thought that Thompson had won as well. At least that's what he was telling Thompson behind him, and that was his story afterwards. And we have every reason to believe it just from his reaction. He didn't know until he looked up on the board that he had actually won. I think that he thought that Thompson had outleaned him for the win. And so that's why I even take, you know, less fault with in terms of what Lee Defy is facing right now. I don't think he should. Typically, you know, we only hear these folks' voices those of us that are on the outside looking in, whether it's the track world or swimming, we only Roddy in swimming. We only hear these voices once every 4 years. I don't think there's any reason here, in Defy's case, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, to be taken off or moved. I love these guys. I think they do a great job, and that's as close a race as we have ever seen. But he did, and I'll give him all the credit in the world. He said he went with his gut and that he got it wrong and that he shouldn't have. I shouldn't have been so bold to call it, but I generally thought he won. I got it wrong. Admits he did and that he was sorry for doing so. I have no problem with him going for his instinct. That's his call. That's what he sort of, you know, every 4 years lives to do. And I would tell you probably nine and a half times out of ten, he's getting it right every time. And so I don't have a big problem. My bigger problem is that we make a sort of thing of this. And again, it's different than even a Steve Harvey flub in Miss World, Miss America, whatever it was a few years back, where Steve got it wrong. But the world turned on him. The world talked about, oh, he should never be doing this again or whatever else. Feels a little bit different because this is something we're all watching, and I think a lot of us thought that the Jamaican won. But all that said, I still feel the same way. Like, to, you know, once these guys come out, they're held accountable, they apologize for it or whatever else, we don't need to give them more, you know, a harder time than that. And I would hope that NBC has no plans to take him off racing or anything else. And I hate that he's having to answer for it. But good on him for saying, I got it wrong, and I'll essentially say I'll be better next time.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough.
This was as close a race we'd ever seen. Should he have said, I can't call it? Rather than calling a winner, I can understand that argument when it's that close.
I think you say, folks, we're going to have a photo finish. You know, it's not obvious to us.
You know, I understand that. I can't beat him up for it. Right? Because this is what he does.
This is a human decision, right? Do you want to bully people? Do you want to kick them while they're down? Do you want to do that?
Well, especially when I thought, right, my eyes are telling me that's why I'm on his side a little bit more here. If it'd be different if we know something else and he completely got it wrong.
Now, again, though, you're
a lot of us thought the Jamaican won.
There are no stakes involved in your opinion of who won.
No, you're right, and it's his job.
Yeah, I mean, you're calling a record-breaking race.
I mean, I can't push back too hard on that.
And so I think, like, if you're not, again, I don't know what the broadcast rules are, but I would think in something like that, if you're not sure, what's the harm in saying?
I mean, that's fair.
Because nobody would have said, "Oh, the guy didn't announce a winner. He didn't declare a winner." I mean, everybody in the world knew it was like a photo finish.
No, I mean, that's a good point, and I suppose many probably do feel that way.
So I would rather you say, "We just don't know. We just don't know who won this race."
Yeah,
we're gonna wait on the results, but folks, that was the closest race we have ever seen.
Maybe that was the way to go.
You know, like, I just, you know, because you watched. Well,
clearly it was the way to go. Right. He didn't in the moment.
I mean, now, we have hindsight. We know that it was
right.
And it's not as bad as, like, remember the Oscars when they announced the wrong picture?
There was one. Moonlight.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad because, like, that was just reading the wrong envelope or being handed the wrong envelope or whatever the case may be. But I think, like, again, the instinct as a live broadcast.
Miss Universe with Steve Harvey.
Yeah, get it right, you know, as opposed to, like, get it first. I mean, I know that seems, like, pedantic, but I just would have said, I honestly don't know who won this race. We're going to have to wait to see what the review shows because it's not obvious to us from up here.
No, I think you're probably right.
You know?
That's one I try to rarely say that on this show, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah, because, I mean,
well, as close as that one was.
I thought the Jamaican gentleman won it. That's what I thought. But again, I only had that one angle, and it wasn't like if somebody said, declare a winner right now, but I've said it was him for sure. I mean, you take that, you take Noah's reaction. Yeah, it's easy to see, to say, but I mean, that was so close.
0.9784 to 0.9789.
We're talking thousandths. Thousands of
and then
seconds.
Fred Curley, I don't even think we mentioned his name, but the bronze medal finisher, he was 9.81. Like, they were all right there within, you know, thousands of a second or hundredths of a second of each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just too close to call.
Yeah, they're probably so. I mean, in the live, you probably do have to say that. You're a professional. It's your job, and you get once every 4 years, basically, at least where the world is watching. I know, I'm sure, you know, they do the American championships and everything else, but, you know, the world's watching. I guess that probably was the right way to go. Tough in the moment, though. And you're able to go with your gut.
Yeah.
You've been right all your career.
Yeah, no, it is.
But I salute. Most of these folks that do the Olympics for NBC, And I love hearing their voices every 4 years, and I do think they add a ton of insight and everything else to stuff that we don't, you know, we're not informed on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this ain't the NFL. It's not the professional. We're watching the NBA. We're watching all the developments, everything else. We don't know what's going on, frankly, on a year-to-year basis. Who's your world champion right now? Who's your American champion? I appreciate all these folks, and I think DeFi does a good job.
Yeah.
At least I appreciate the accountability. And in this case, I think you're probably right that he should have just kind of opened it up to we don't know.
Right. And that's, you're
the
right.
The opportunity was there. Nobody would have faulted him for it.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, you know, would it have taken away from what might have, you know?
Well, maybe it's adding to it, actually.
But I think it would have. I think it would have said, like,
wow. Instead of getting it wrong, you're adding to it, and we're all just sitting there waiting on the name to come up.
Exactly.
And we don't know.
Yeah, you remember the...
like you said, you could photo finish. You could have just gone, photo finish!
And then wait.
You know, and wait and like he did after he said the Jamaican's name. No, man, I hate it. I hate coming in here on a Monday and saying you're right on
something. But it is also super easy for us to say in our seat what we would do now that we know the results.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like we know how it ended. And if he had been right, we'd have like, damn, bro, amazing eye. Because it was not, obviously, anybody watching at home. It's, I mean, you can see the picture. You can see the video. It's like...
Well, I trust them because they're doing the same thing on swimming. The Roddy guy and the folks on swim are doing... Because I can't tell the difference between when they're touching that thing underwater. But they're doing...
Exactly.
They can see it, you know, much closer. And so we trusted Lee here. He let us down. He's apologized.
Yep.
Says he's going to be better.
Yeah.
Next story.
Simone Biles is done.
Turn down, bro.
Yeah, turn this down. I think he's already there, right? He's got the headphones off. But her Olympics are finished. She just had the one event today in the floor exercise finals where she finished with the silver. She finished second in the floor exercise finals today. It's her fourth medal in Paris. It's her 11th Olympic medal overall. So three golds and a silver, I believe, for Simone Biles. And look, you have to say one of the most dominant, you know, I mean, it is the most dominant in the history of gymnastics. No question about that.
Yeah.
She's got medals from the team, the all around, and the vault. I actually happened to catch that vault live when she was rooting on her friend who finished with the bronze, the fellow American. I can't remember. Jade Carey, maybe that was her name.
Mm-hmm.
But she finished third. She was there rooting her on because she already locked. She knew she locked up gold, dog. She knew Jade wasn't going to touch her on the vault.
I thought she did a good job cheering on all her teammates.
She did.
Whether it was while in competition or watching.
Exactly. I agree with
from
that.
From the stands.
Yeah. So a very, very successful.
You don't get the feeling that she just holds herself up as this diva and has this condescending attitude towards the rest of them. And clearly, I don't know if you see, but Child's stories will tell you that that's not who Simone Biles is. And
yes.
Simone Biles is and invited Child's down to sort of, you know, reinvigorate her career down to Texas with her. So clearly she's a giving teammate even at her advanced GOAT stage.
Yeah, it's amazing though. Like she'll be 30.
That's good to know.
She'll be 31 in LA.
Yeah, and I saw some 32-year-olds out there, but they were not performing well.
Exactly.
This go around, and so it did not sound like, from everything I've gathered, it does not sound like she's planning to go forward. Whereas maybe, you know, the Katie Ledeckis of the world are still going to, you know, press forward, try to do LA in 4 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, It's at home, so I think that probably influences it.
Maybe a year from now, she feels different, though.
Yeah. She said, never say never. Next Olympics are at home, so you just never know. I'm getting really old. That was her quote. So, yeah. I don't know. I think if it was out of the United States, there'd be no doubt she'd be done. That's how I feel. But because it's in L.A., and because it wouldn't require that much travel and that much BS, she might go ahead and decide to just give it one more run. At home and get a gold at home. You got to try, right? You got to try.
Well, we gave Jonathan Owens.
Yes, we did. We gave him the week off.
Because this was the last ride.
Is that what we did?
We have camp.
Yeah, I know. Right, and you guys let him go to Paris.
Exactly.
Like he's fighting for a spot, right?
Did you see,
right?
There are guys in the Navy that can't see their sister compete. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, that, yeah.
And we let Jonathan Owens go on over there. Why? With the understanding, I'm assuming this is the last ride. So you head on over to Paris and go watch wifey win gold. Watch her win the all around. We're not doing this again 4 years from now. My guess, Jonathan Owens won't be part of the Bears. We brought him from Green Bay in 4 years. But don't you? I mean, that you go over there, you see wifey one time. I saw there were swimming wives who were still back in America that weren't with their husbands who were competing this year. So I don't know how many more times you're gonna give. We can give Jonathan Owens the time off of work to go see Simone, especially here now. You'll watch her on TV from camp.
Yeah,
understand.
Yeah. I mean,
if she's gonna get back in,
it did. Especially because
I wouldn't mind seeing her though. She could probably clearly still. I'm not gonna say dominate and get in and get all around gold, but she'd be competitive. I would think in 4 years.
I think that's true. I think that's actually.
I think Simone could probably take a year off and then have three more, and you can still get right by the time it's go time.
You know, but you have to, you know, she may have family. She may, like, you know.
She did slip off that beam, though, didn't she?
She did, but that was the beam.
Look what she's overcome with the twisties and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, some thought she was already done.
No, it was a. But
what I like best is she's a giver. See, Michael says some goats weren't givers.
That's right.
Some goats wanted to keep it all for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Michael Jordan to me.
Yeah.
And was Tom a giver?
Yeah.
I guess a giver to his folks.
Yeah, because he took less all those years.
You're right. That's a good way of putting that. Yeah.
Like, obviously, it was selfish in a way.
Simone is a giver, and that she just isn't, you know, sort of mixed up with just her own greatness. She looks to pass it on and help.
But yeah, like,
and I appreciate that
Tom is the great ones who do that. You still don't see guys doing what Tom did. It wasn't like people looked at him and said, oh,
I just see Mahomes.
He's the only one. He's the only one that's done it. Nobody, I mean, what's his name? Jalen Brunson took less in the league. But that was his college. It's because all those guys played at Villanova together. You know, it's like, what if Mikal Bridges went to Memphis? Would he do that? I doubt it. You know, he's got some selfish interest in taking less. And plus, he knows, like, he'll get it all on the back end anyway. I don't think Tom ever got it on the back end. I think he just took less. Now, he made plenty of money, bro. That's not what we're talking about here. But it's like, yes, he wanted to play with Randy Moss. He wanted to have Rob Gronkowski. He wanted to have all these guys on the team. And so, and Edelman, and go down the list. You know what I'm saying? So, he always took less than he could have gotten because he wanted to the best chance to win a title. You know, and that's different. That ain't the way it goes for everybody. So, a fantastic Olympics for Simone Biles and her time in Paris is done.
Next story.
Keeping you up to date on Titans developments, and you probably saw this from over the weekend, but they've added veteran free agent safety Quandre Diggs. Did a one-year deal. It's worth up to $5 million. He confirmed the news yesterday. It's going to put him, reuniting him with Jamal Adams, who he played with the Seattle Seahawks in Tennessee. So they're both happy. Diggs will immediately compete with fourth-year veteran Elijah Molden to start next to Amani Hooker. Top half of Tennessee's safety rotation also includes Adams and second-year defensive back Matthew Jackson, who has three interceptions so far in camp. So it looks like Seahawks released Diggs back on March 5th, freed up $11 million in salary cap space for them. He's 31 now. Was acquired for the Seahawks back in 2019, was then selected to three straight Pro Bowls, 2020 to 22, with the Seahawks, had 18 interceptions in his time with the team. So solid, there's no question about that, and they needed, it sounds like from everything I've been reading, needed the secondary depth, and so Diggs, a veteran piece. Good news for the Titans, who, for the most part, it's been, you know, sort of bad news so far for them with the Hopkins news. Obviously, there was one other thing. Suspension for PEDs.
Yep.
I believe too on that defensive guy. And so,
yep.
This is a bit of, you know, good news. This was a good signing here. It feels like for the Titans, a team that will take on the Chicago Bears in their opener.
Yeah, they obviously have a preseason game this weekend at home.
Full slate, baby.
Against the 49ers, and it sounds like it. I mean, they're going to go with some starters. It sounds like they're going to play, you know, Will Levis, because, you know, it makes sense. You're installing a brand new offense, new coach. You know, got some new concepts. Play your ones as much as you can. Not over. No, you don't play them the whole game. Maybe a quarter, but you're going to start to see that, right? Like, you know, preseason used to be basically you chalk it up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you play the last one, but there's only three now. So if you have a new coach and a new system and a younger quarterback, you are going to play those guys. Interestingly enough, Dave Canales of the Carolina Panthers today said he didn't think Bryce Young would play any preseason, which is a little shocking to me. Like, it's a new coach. It's a new sit. Why would you not want to get him out there for at least a series or two? You know, I mean, I understand why Kirk Cousins in Atlanta wouldn't play. I understand why, Joe Burrow wouldn't play in the preseason. I understand that, but you know, if it's anybody that's, you know, not a 5 to 10 year veteran and that has a and has a great grasp of the offense, why would they not play? That seems like counterintuitive to me.
How much of it's just concern over their ability to protect him and his body? I mean, again, if you're sitting him out there in your offensive line, you got is a mess. You got no business of putting him out there. I would understand that.
Yeah.
If it's just about, well, we want Bryce Young to hold up a whole season, and we're dude, that it could go, it could happen any time. So that's I have a tougher time with that one. But if your O line's a mess right now, say you got three starters down,
right?
I completely get not playing him. But I have no idea what the status of their line is. Back to the Titans. Have we given up on Treylon Burks? Have they given up?
No. No. He actually, they were talking about him today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
They said that...
especially now, again, it seems like there's more opportunities, especially if Hopkins is slow to return to start. That opens up the door again for Burks.
Yeah, Treylon Burks is like... it has kind of changed his body a little bit.
Uh-huh. I thought I'd seen some headlines or some at least a reason for optimism about him.
I mean, it's not worked out. I mean, like, obviously it was going to be very difficult for him because he was basically pegged as the A.J. Brown replacement,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not been that.
Not even close.
But, I mean, let's not act like it's been some prolific high-level passing attack in Tennessee either. You know,
no, that's true.
I don't know if Will Levis is going to be that, but I think he's got a better chance with Levis than he did with Tannehill.
He played 9 games last year.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
When I looked at the numbers, I thought he must have missed more time. A lot of that is QB play.
No, 100%. Yeah, and then like last year, you know, you have Tannehill gets hurt. Your ceiling was pretty low with him anyway. Then Malik gets in there. He's terrible. Then they have to throw Levis in there.
Who's throwing to Hopkins.
Right.
And not you.
Yeah, exactly. He's just going to go with his, you know.
And he did a bunch, yeah.
And Levis wasn't great last year. Levis was very inconsistent, so.
He had a couple good ones, though.
He did. That Dolphins one comes to mind, you know. Jags at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
So, but preseason is here, brother, man. It is here.
Yeah, I'm happy about it, so I don't feel so guilty just talking about Bears. We can talk about all you guys and your scrub teams.
Oh, Tannehill came back. I didn't realize that. So, Tannehill came back for that last game of the year. Against the Jags. But Levis was in there against the Dolphins for sure, and he led them to that comeback.
He had a 4-touchdown game. I remember coming here and giving him a respect burger.
Yeah.
4 or 5.
They beat the Dolphins in Miami 28-27. He was 23 of 38, 327 yards, and a touchdown.
Maybe that's not the one I'm talking about then, because I thought he threw a bunch of bombs to DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, there
had
was.
A 3 or 4 touchdown game somewhere along the lines. It's just it wasn't the Dolphins game then.
Right. There had to be one for him. It was the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
It was that's exactly it. It was he was 19-29, 4 touchdowns.
There it is.
4 touchdowns and 3 of them went to DeAndre.
There it is. That's the one I remember.
So there you go. You still got it, young man.
He had some highs.
He did.
Just like you said, yeah. That's finding consistency.
Exactly.
Is what they need.
Yeah, because like he'd have games like that, and then he'd have games like they lost to the Patriots. You know, 36-13. Now again, that was not Levis. That was Tannehill. So you know, Tannehill. That was a totally different year. I don't know why it skipped there. But, they brought Tannehill back weirdly, so it was a different, it was a very odd way of developing, you know, the young guy. You know, I don't know exactly how that's helpful. I don't understand why you wouldn't just have rolled with him the whole way. You were not in contention for the division or anything like that. But, you know, he beat the Dolphins. Then he came back against the came back the next week against the Texans. Didn't have a great game. Lost in overtime, 19-16, and then he was benched for Tanny.
Mm-hmm.
And Tanny finished the year.
Okay.
So I don't know if Levis got hurt or got a concussion or something. I don't know. But Tannehill came back, finished the year, and they went 1-2 the final three with that 28-20 win against the Jags. That was a send-off for Tannehill. It was a send-off for D. Henry and Mike Vrabel. That was the end of the whole thing. That was like, that's how they ended it. In a lost season, that's about as good as you're going to get. I mean, you got to say, like, beating the Jaguars, keeping them out of the playoffs,
yeah.
It being the last game with Vrabel, Tanny, and Derrick Henry, fitting way to go out, you would say.
Could it have drastically changed their draft position?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, because they finished 6-11. I mean, they would have been 5-12 or 6-11. It would have been roughly the same.
Okay. All right, then I got no problem with it.
It's a division, bro. It's a division.
Oh, I know. It'd be placed.
Like, you know, like.
It's just us beating Green Bay in non-playoff seasons.
It's like us beating the Chargers 63-0.
Huh.
You know, like, well, do I wish we lost it? Or do I? Will I cherish the fact that I was there to see the record? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out, bro.
Well, don't watch on Thursday, Panthers, Patriots.
Oh, I'm watching.
Because that is as dog as it gets. I'm sure you'll find opportunity. You already have found opportunity.
Now, which side of that do you think I'm on?
That is some dog football that's going to be happening, especially if Bryce Young is not playing in that game.
Bro, we get to see Drake May and Joe Milton.
You keep bringing up Joe. There was a headline. He's playing well in practice. That's Jacoby's, okay? And for until further, and then as Chernoff told you, it'll be Drake May's eventually. But no, I'm not talking about as it relates to Thursday. That's the dregs of the league.
There's two on Thursday,
right? Panthers and Patriots. Then you have Lions Giants, but yeah. I don't believe it'll be televised. I think NFL Network's got Panthers Patriots.
Gotcha.
You know,
I should know these things.
But then you got Falcons Dolphins, which is relatively interesting. I think we'll see some Penix.
Yep.
That's what's interesting about that game. You'll see some extended time with their backup quarterback. Why would they play Cousins if he's even ready? Although I think he's been given the go-ahead. Texans, Steelers, Eagles, Ravens on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to talk about the team from Chicago because y'all got enough of that last week. But they are playing the Bills. Packers, Browns is relatively interesting. Raiders, Vikings, two dogs. Although J.J. McCarthy could... Let's be real. The Vikings have got the chance to have a really potent offense. We'll see.
Absolutely.
They also have what's my guy? Is it Darnold?
Yeah.
That if, you know, just in case they don't want to roll J.J. out there to
start. Darnold's job.
He's the bridge man.
He's the starter. It's all
blood. I would ask you why. All right, it's probably a better plan because J.J. McCarthy needs to show that he can be a passer in this league, but...
I agree.
Are we saying he's that much less than the rest of these guys who were about to roll out there week one? And these rookies play now.
JJ's but had an.
There's only a few
camp.
Jordan Loves that have to. They get to sit and watch.
That's true. Because that clock ticks.
Yeah, and that GM needs to pay everybody else and take advantage of the rookie salary.
Exactly.
Of the rookie contract.
Right, because you're not going to be able to hide a good quarterback. That's the thing. It's like if you have this dream of, all right, well, I'll keep him here for 4 years and he'll start. You know, he'll start his fourth year, or maybe he won't start until his fifth year, and then I won't have to pay him like what he's actually worth. That doesn't happen anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that guy, if he's that good, he's going to start this year. He's starting this year. And if that happens, I think they're fine with that. But I think the idea is, based on, you know, JJ's had a roller coaster camp, Darnold, the idea is like, all right, he finally gets a good scheme with Kevin O'Connell. We saw what he did last year with the rotating door of QBs there, like, he'll be good. That's what they think, you know. So, again, I haven't seen anything from Darnold ever to suggest that he would be starting caliber player, but we'll find out. But, yeah, it's not there's competitions. Like, the Steelers is a competition. The Raiders is a competition. I don't really think Minnesota is much of a competition. Like, they haven't closed it, but it's like everybody knows it's going to Darnold, at least to start. But
that's fine with me.
Yeah. J.J. definitely represents, to me, the higher ceiling. So I'm not sure why you draft him 10 just to sit him on the
bench. That's what I think. You may as well get started when you make him the 10 pick.
Exactly. NFL, getting close, man. Getting close, and preseason is not the real thing, but... It's real to me, damn it.
Shout out to the Titans on getting digs on 1 year.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deal.
Welcome back to the Jason and John Show. Catch us on the Odyssey app where Jason, you can hear Jason, talk all things Memphis sports, occasional eye toward NFL, college basketball, and
Penny.
Gender. That is where you will hear Jason at his absolute best. Is that fit? Did I encapsulate it?
You did. It's funny. Texted with Josh Pastner this morning. Oh, been wow. A long time.
Yeah. Former Memphis basketball coach.
Because I'd seen his former team chaplain, a guy that needs no introduction, the great Ken Bennett, out in the parking lot of my son's school, doing what he has done for years, which is encouraging students on that first day. And it got me to thinking, there are some things about Memphis that I wish could never change.
Mm.
We talk so much about what needs to be changed. And traffic fatality is one of them. That's, Lord knows that's at the top of the list. And it changed for the better, obviously. But Ken Bennett is one of those Memphians that you wish just could just be around forever. You know, the Elliott Perry types. You know, I'd put him in the same category. Just Memphians who have literally, Ken and his wife Deb, They have touched, going all the way back to the BTW days, we're talking about decades ago.
Right.
They've touched literally thousands of lives, souls, hearts, all of it, salt of the earth. He's as good as they get. Saw him this morning. So as Josh's former team chaplain, yeah, I sent him the picture of old Ken Bennett this morning. He was happy to see him. Happy to see him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, Josh, how much longer are he going to be out?
I don't know. I mean, he could have gotten in.
We tried to get Rice, though, didn't we?
I think that there was some interest there.
Oh, just an interest.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
he's going to be back. I know he's too young not to be back.
I agree with that.
All right.
But, you know, it's just,
hope he's doing well. I told him I hope he and the family are doing well.
Yeah, exactly.
I know y'all talk all the time. Is he a Field of 64 colleague or no? That's one of the jobs he does not have.
Well, there's 68.
60, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean,
could be 70-something here soon. Who knows?
You
90-something.
You certainly,
excuse me. I can tell you took it as disrespect.
Well, again, that's
I just think of the tournament as 64, excuse me.
I understand. Hey, look.
It's 68.
In a perfect world, it never would have changed.
I apologize.
But,
Are we going up or not?
Not at the moment.
Eventually we will.
But eventually, yes.
And you'll have to change the name.
But I think he is going to be, but he didn't really work that hard last year, at least for us.
Josh.
He worked hard for others, but he didn't work that hard for us.
Has Rob talked about whether he'll change the name Field of 68 if the tournament changes?
Well, he has to, yeah. They've got you know, retainers on the trademark, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That you have to, you buy that in advance. And you get the Twitter, you know. Like, let's see, like, Field, what were they talking about going to?
That's what I'm saying. Your future is sort of dictated by whatever the NCAA, you know, decides there.
Yeah, like
I'll imagine that's a lot of paperwork to change that up.
Like, they already,
especially if you get it on shirts and stuff.
They already have the Field of 76. They already have that Twitter account.
They got it already.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
That's very smart.
So,
because it's coming. Yes, like you said, not immediately.
But what about if it goes to
the expansion is coming. They're gonna have to always change their name.
Yes.
Who does that? I can't think of another example of that. I imagine Rob will find a way to be successful.
Well, what would you have called the network?
Employing hard workers like you and Goodman.
I would call it Slappies. Is the network of Slappies.
So they may have to get out of the business of having a number on it is what it eventually. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, it's a lot of paperwork over the years to keep changing the name.
That's tough, man. There's no doubt about it. There's no way around that. I mean, you're
so Rob thought that one through, this great idea that we've lauded. I don't know if he thought this one through.
Exactly.
Expansion.
So anyway, good to hear from Josh Pastner.
Yep.
Who's up in the air. Matt McCall is coming back, just to give you an update on housekeeping. He had taken the job with Chris Mack at College of Charleston, but he said, no thanks, I'm going back to media. And so he's going to be back with us this year, which is good news for me because he makes my life and my job there a lot easier.
Now, you had been all up Penny's tail writing stories every time he commented this offseason. I know I didn't see anything on the Fayette Ware edition and the walk-on.
Are they both walk-ons?
I'm not sure on the Fayette Ware kid, to be honest with you.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't even know there was a
I'm amazed because everything he had done, every decision he'd made, you'd broken down every word he'd said, every player he'd added. I guess you were so busy with top 25 last week that we didn't see any news.
I'm sorry.
On the Fayette Ware kid, or is it Faraji's son that's joining the team?
Is it? Okay, yeah, so it's, I see what you're talking about. Yates is the guy's name.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the 15th. That was a whole month ago.
Okay.
So
I didn't see a column from you.
Demarion Yates, Dink Yates.
There we go.
So
Y'all wanted some more Memphis players, more Memphis area players. There you go. Penny gave them to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is there to say, bro?
Apparently nothing, because we got nothing from you about those additions. Now, I do think
isn't he a walk-on?
And I was going to say, in your defense, I do think the beat writers touched on these additions.
Yeah.
But I think they're low-key.
I only address scholarship contributors. I don't address walk-ons. I'm not going to kill Penny for the walk-ons.
You like Herd that won't go below sixth grade, top of seventh grade, whatever it is, won't talk about kids below that level.
No.
Okay.
But it's, it's his starters are his set. His starters are absolutely set. And there's nobody that he's going to be able to add that's going to change that.
I will say I touched on something with, this morning with Josh just real briefly, but he was talking about Memphis kids, and you and I, we didn't spend much time on it, but we mentioned it, like Keeper Jackson, because you asked Thad about it, about Memphis high school players that are transferring out, and where is Columbus? Where's Keeper? Where is that Columbus school that Keeper Jackson's going to? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, Miami.
Down in Miami, and how you remember? You know, there was a time where we said if this happened, it made it tougher for you to recruit Memphis kids. We even said, as recently as James Wiseman thought if he got out of here to a Finley prep or whatever, it would make it a little bit tougher on Penny. But it just doesn't happen anymore where these guys stay in town. Not to mention you've had now with the NIL area and everything else sort of it's not a complete diversion from getting Memphis talent. Penny tried to get Curtis Givens III. He tried to get Trey Richmond. But you can go another route and it just doesn't, the idea that, a Memphis guy, 4 years high school in Memphis's backyard, so it makes it easy to get. None of it feels like it applies anymore. But a Keeper Jackson be a guy that in the past you'd feel like, well, Memphis would have all eyes in the world on. What is he, 6'7", 6'8", can do everything, played at Christian Brothers for the first couple of years for those who hadn't seen him. I know Brad saw him real young. Brad's known about Keeper Jackson for a long time. Moving on out of here, And you don't even, to the point where it is even a local kid anymore, if you get back into the recruitment. Obviously, his family's here and stuff, but things have changed so much just in the few years since I covered Josh's time, but even in the time that Penny's been head coach.
Yeah.
When he gets to NIL and everything.
It is different, and I sympathize with that. It's not that, it is more difficult in some ways. I do think that, you have to account for that some, but it's also easier in some ways because you have like the ability to actually pay players over the table now, whereas you've championed that as much as anybody. I mean, they won the early days of NIL more than anybody with Jalen Duren and Imani Bates, right? So again, I'm not saying that gravy train lasts forever.
It's a double-edged sword. You're right in the end because you look at how well Memphis has done, but it also takes away some advantages that you had, set aside relationships. We've said they don't matter as much anymore. But Penny Hardaway saying, I'm the NBA player that can get you to the league. I play in the league. Go look at my film. All that. If you know, coach A who prospect doesn't know has got $1 million in NIL. We'll just make it realistic. Say $500,000. And Penny's only offering $200,000. Doesn't matter what you know. Penny's back NBA background. His what he brings to the table is not going to matter a hill of beans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it can make it harder in a way. But Memphis has clearly shown, as resourced as it is, that it can operate in that world.
Yeah.
But it's a double-edged sword.
It is. It is.
Because it takes some advantages that you had away from you when it all becomes about that dollar that, yes, now is over the table.
Exactly.
But that's all it's about.
Real quick, let's talk about this. The USLBM coaches poll is out. So it's not the U.S. It is at USA Today, but it's not the USA Today's coaches poll. It's the USLBM coaches poll. So when you talk about it, just make sure you get that in there because you love to get in there, Simmons Bank Memorial Stadium. So
this is the Liberty Bowl poll?
This is the Liberty Bowl poll.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm confused.
Well, you know, they have a sponsor now.
When you say LB to me, it means one thing.
And that's so right. Larry Brown.
You joking. No, Liberty Bowl.
Oh.
You joking about it, it confused me. But who is this?
This is the USA Today poll.
USA, but it's not the coach poll.
It is the coach's poll, but they have a sponsor. So it's not called the USA Today Coaches Poll anymore. It's called the USLBM.
Just say it's damn Coaches Poll.
Well,
so
no,
you don't confuse people like.
Y'all told me I can't say Liberty Bowl anymore. So we got to because it's a sponsor. It has a sponsor now. So how come we don't apply that same logic to this?
You could say it when you're talking about the game.
Okay. Well, the Coaches Poll is out, and is Memphis football ranked in the Coaches Poll? They are not.
Folks, we already talked about it.
But.
Spoiler for you, Brad. I don't know if you were waiting for tonight to find that out.
I think he's got his headphones on now. He's locked in.
I'm listening now.
He's just messing.
No, I just tuned out for the current Olympics so I can enjoy prime time with the wine event.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, can you not support his alcoholism? Can you not just be a champion?
I do not think it's alcoholism.
Thank you.
Having a little wine. Braun has a little wine
to
after every game.
An alcoholic for sure.
Oh, you're on the beer ski.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
he's drinking the wine. You're drinking the wine.
Stacy's the wine person.
Oh, you're gonna have a couple of brews.
I'll have a couple
high lifes.
Yeah. Well, actually, I like this cider. I'm more of an apple cider guy.
Gotcha.
Because it's gluten free and it's a little tastier.
There you go.
You gotta watch the sugar intake. So two beer, Brad, two max. We do two.
So it's like hard cider.
Yeah, it's like Angry Orchard is one of the good brands.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
We're ranked 30th, basically, it looks like, if you look at it as an aggregate, right? Like if there's 30, if you extend it out.
So there's 48. They have 44 votes. Washington would be 26th, Louisville 27th, Virginia Tech 28th, SMU 9th, and then Memphis would be 30th.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Again, others receiving votes.
Yeah.
So the question is, how many wins would it take? Well, Memphis won't be ranked unless they beat Florida State, right? If they lose Florida State, they will never be ranked until probably the end of the season.
That's probably right.
That's just the way it works. Well, it
feels about right. Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get any credit for beating.
It's a crappy schedule.
Yeah, you're not going to get any credit.
Again, you play Florida State close, though.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's already talked you up for group of five, best of group of five, or certainly in that running. You will be considered more so.
You'd have to win like four more, though, before you get back in there. And even if it's a close loss, you're going to have a loss.
They're 30th. Where's Tulane? Where's the UTSAs? Where's the Boise State?
UTSA got 3 votes. Tulane got 2 votes.
Okay, so you're
Boise State got 30 votes. So Boise State is literally the next team. So they're 31st. And this is coaches, so it really doesn't...
SIDs.
You know, yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. So all of the group of five is outside of their top 25.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.